Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And welcome to Hope is Alive. We're coming to you live this September 20th. And good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, brother. I am here.
Yes, hallelujah. What a great day. Praise the Lord. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. And blessings from Oklahoma.
Well, as usual, Brother Ralph, I'll be here waiting on your callers and listening in.
Thank you, sir. And it is a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. Pastor, I don't know about you, but we usually get some pretty good weather this time of year, but we just had a very warm day as we get towards the end of summer. It reached up in the mid to upper 90s here, so I'm assuming since we're not too far from each other, your day wasn't too far off from being like that.
I think it was probably pretty much the same. I didn't follow it, but I think it was up in the 90s down here in Oklahoma City, and it is a great time of the year. It starts cooling off, and even a great time to go fishing.
It is. We like to be fishers of men, but it sure is fun to be fishers of fish.
And amen.
I haven't got out. I haven't got out as much as I'd like to, but I know you have.
Well, we're entitled to do both. Amen. He
Amen.
Came that we'd have life and life abundant, and it's all-encompassing, praise God.
Praise God. And that's why we're here this night, is this is Hope is Alive. I'm Ralph. This is Pastor Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. And this show is all dedicated to teaching others about the works of Jesus that's commonly known as deliverance. And it's to help just give a testimony to glorify Jesus first and foremost, but also to let people know that there are things that could be bothering you as a Christian, bothering you as a non-Christian, certainly, but even Christians are bothered by spirits and bothered by demons and are tormented in certain ways, and this show goes to kind of teach you about that and how to overcome and be an overcomer. There are many things that can still affect Christians. I know that I get asked about it all the time. I got asked about it today, and hopefully my friend was wanting to know about more about the show, tune in this evening. So if you're there, good evening tonight, Jerry. But we just here to help teach the about the supernatural works. The book the pastor has written is called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is available at Scriptures for America. I wanted to get that in. We've been kind of slacking on getting that in until the end. And you can get that book. It is basically a handbook to help you exercise these spirits. It lays it out pretty simple. And it's got what they call the problem list. And in that problem list, it is what they have found over the years, the names of spirits and demons that affect and torment people. And it's quite an extensive list. I don't know how many are on there, but I would say it's pushing well over 100. I've never actually counted them just by looking at what's on there. I guess it's probably more than that. But these are different spirits that can affect Christians and affect people in ways. And what the great thing about it is it can be cast out.
Yes, and that list, while I think there's, I've never sat down and actually counted them, but I believe it's up in the 200 range. But that's not exhaustive. It's just a common grouping of spirits that we at Deliverance Ministries do run into quite a bit. And we find most people we minister to, which are already Christians, that they generally will unload through the ministry session around three dozen, sometimes more, often more, in fact. And so what's exciting about it is when they're gone, it's fun to see how wonderful the person feels. They feel lighter. They're always reporting that. And they're bright in their face, and they have gotten a Jesus overhaul. And sure enough, their gifts start opening up at that point. They'd never had before, since these spirits, their mission is to block in every way and to steal, kill, and destroy in a Christian's life. So when we get those spirits out, hold on to your hat. Hallelujah. It is exciting to see the differences.
Amen. And as I witnessed to someone this week, that when you get these spirits, a lot of times they're tormenting spirits, but these seducing spirits that are able to, they come by assignment, they come by curses, they come by witchcraft, they come by various different ways, but the thing is they know you, and they can talk to you and convince you that it's your own thoughts. And when you get rid of these seducing spirits, it makes the flesh pretty easy to control. And that's just the most amazing thing to me about it, was when the spirits were cast out of me and I no longer had these urges or whatnot, I didn't have this desire to do any of the things that I kept repeatedly doing throughout my life, and it made it just easier to walk in a path of freedom, and it made it easier to witness to others, because now I finally saw, hey, I truly overcome this, and I can help others overcome it.
Yes, and while many people go to counseling, they're not aware of this type of ministry called deliverance. They, if their spirits are sitting there, which we find they usually always are, it's very difficult to get really free. By willpower, people can do this or they can do that, but the spirits are still there bugging them. They're still speaking into their heads, do this, do that. I had a pornography problem many, many years ago now, and I found after I was delivered, I noticed the enemy still tried to draw me in that direction, but I could easily choose not to go there. And that's the difference. When the spirits are gone, it is certainly much easier to choose. We still have to choose, but it's much better being free than under the torment. So that's what we recommend in the pornography area and all kinds of addictions. And of course, we've seen all people set free from all those kinds of things. The list is long, and it's just a start on the types of spirits out there. But it's a common grouping of, you know, fear spirits and bitterness and resentment and stress and anxiety and the common things that people seem to have. But when it's overboard and out of balance and reoccurring, you can sure be suspicious there's a spirit behind it. And if we can find out there is, that's great news, because in Jesus' name, we can get rid of it, often in one session.
Amen. And that problem list, again, is in his book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which can be obtained at going to Scriptures for Context of Scriptures for America. I believe that it's a $20 offering for that. But you can also get that problem list off the Internet. You can go to deliveranceusa.com, and it'll link you to just about every material and then some that's available in the book. So if you don't have the means to order one or don't want to wait for it to come in, again, you can go to deliveranceusa.com, and all the materials for helping set someone free is laid out there. There's also video links for training, video links to help explain things, and I believe there's even some video, some audio or video links for testimonies as well, too.
Yes, that's correct. A number of testimonies where people got free of all kinds of problem areas. And that's, of course, as we say, that's the proof is in the pudding. and it's, you can't argue with the testimony. People argue with their doctrines and theology, but, you know, when a person says, here's the way I was, here was the problem area, here's what it felt like when these spirits came out, and here I am now, months and sometimes years later, how Jesus set them free. And, yeah, it's exciting to be in the middle of it, and all of us have to pinch ourselves at some, and be so thankful that somebody did share and that we find ourselves in the middle of this. It's so many Christians, in fact, the majority of Christians never have the opportunity to minister and see people set free in this area. It's so fulfilling that God will use all of us this way. It's not a gift area. It is normal Christianity.
Amen. Brothers, I might add, we are working on our next Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 7. And today, I got a testimony in from, we had an article just a couple months ago called A Parent's Testimony. We kind of have a part two that we're working on, a short testimony, and it involves deliverance ministry. And so I encourage you, what a powerful testimony it was today, a matter of life and death, and it is life, an abundant life that has been given. And so I encourage you out there, folks, if you'd like our newsletter, we'll sure send it to you. But it was so encouraging to me, and I let the people know that wrote it, of that abundant life that Christ offers. And that deliverance ministry helps in getting that abundant life and getting rid of the problems. So anyway, and we've got a caller calling, so why don't we just put them right on? Let me just get the button pushed. Good evening.
Okay.
Welcome to Hope is Alive.
This is Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Everett.
Shirley, this... Yeah, thank you for calling in, and Ralph is on here with me, a co-host, and that was Richard in the control room that was sharing about a testimony that had come in. Well, gosh, it's wonderful to have you on, and I've known you quite a while, and but
I think about 21 years, Everett. Hi, Ralph and Richard.
Hello, Miss Shirley. Thank you for
joining.
Yeah, it's
funny. It's amazing time goes by. It's amazing how time, Shirley, goes by one year at a time, and the next thing you know, it's a couple of decades, like you say.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
Shirley, if you would,
really
why don't
passed.
You share? Yes. Why don't you share about how you first learned about deliverance, and then what experiences you've had in it or seen? And that would bless the people to hear, and you know, what you've experienced.
Certainly, and thank you for asking me to call in and share. I first learned about deliverance, Everett, when I met you at church, and just learned more about your ministry, really, than getting to know you first. I think that I was interested in what you were doing, and came to your class and learned about the deliverance and what you were doing with people and how you were ministering through the Word and the works of Jesus. And then I, through circumstances, I got to know you. Well, I really didn't get to know you first before I came to work for you. And when I came to work for you at Oklahoma Mortgage, then I got to really know you. And what a blessing that was. It was just a huge blessing in my life to get to know you and really how the Holy Spirit works through you and doing the full deliverance ministry and how you've blessed people and changed people's lives through your ministry.
Well, thanks,
as far
Charlene,
as some of the experiences, I think the experience that impacted my life the most was the first when my daughter, Tiffany, who also knew you, was pregnant with her first child. She was experiencing ongoing nightmares through her pregnancy, and Tiffany was familiar with you and your deliverance ministry, and you had the opportunity to minister with her, and actually you were bringing in Charles Kraft for a seminar at that time, and you and Charles ministered to Tiffany and did deliverance on the womb, actually did deliverance on the baby in the womb. And Tiffany immediately stopped having nightmares, was no longer fearful of having the baby or anything being abnormal with the baby. She had been fearful of having an abnormal baby or something going wrong or even the baby not living. And after her deliverance experience, she no longer had those fears or any nightmares. And that was just really a huge impact on us as far as what deliverance had done for us. But then I want to add to that when the baby was born, it was her first child, who was Tristan, and that baby had so much joy and so much peace. I had never seen a baby so happy and so full of laughter and peace as what Tristan had. He was just always laughing and smiling and such a spirit, such a sweet, sweet spirit on that child. And I think that just that deliverance experience in the womb made such a difference, even in a baby prior to his birth. Then most recently, just this year... go ahead, I'm sorry.
But I was just going to say, I know we learned from Dr. Kraft out of California, he had learned it from interrogating demons, that when you dedicate a baby in the womb, that they turn out to be wonderful babies, that you wind up breaking curses and things that are on the baby, and the pregnancy goes well and typically, and then the babies when they're born are just wonderful babies. I learned that from Dr. Kraft. I'd had, when he was here one time, we had breakfast, and he had learned it and shared it with me. So I've always passed that along when people are pregnant. So be sure, you know, we'd always dedicate the baby in the church later, but it's very, very important to dedicate them in the womb. So, and I wanted to mention something else. When you first came with Oklahoma Mortgage back then, Shirley, were we still doing the deliverances at the office after hours?
On the 19th floor, yes, sir. We were still we were doing deliverances up in your office, and was quite an experience for a lot of us.
They called the mortgage company full service.
Full service, and, full service company. Take care of your mortgage
and
your
spirit. None of our competitors. That's right. none of our competitors were doing ministry. So, anyway, we had fun with
that. Well, that was quite an experience for Tiffany in her pregnancy, and you're so right.
Yeah.
Tristan's spirit when he was born was just an amazing, just such a precious, sweet, but very happy, joyful baby. Just such a spirit that was different than anything I'd experienced before in a newborn. And he was just, even as a newborn, very, very happy, very laughing all the time, you know, just a really, really sweet spirit. So I do believe that made all the difference in her, and especially in her pregnancy. She, after her deliverance experience, had a very, very good pregnancy experience after that deliverance, and just
Hallelujah.
Really made a big difference in our lives. But then most recently, I've had a tragic loss in my family. We lost our grandson to suicide here last May. And I was, you know, typically you go through a mourning period, a grief period. But I was experiencing something that was, to me, much deeper, just an oppression, and a real deep oppression. And went on for weeks and weeks. And then I was recalling, Everett, your story, your testimony of losing your daughter, and how the deliverance, the filling of the Holy Spirit had made such a difference in your life and your grieving over your daughter, and how the Holy Spirit removed that void in your, that painful void that you were experiencing. So my husband Mark suggested that we had that we come and see you in deliverance. And as he was asking me that, the Lord had been laying this on my heart and bringing to my remembrance your experience yourself. And so I was anxious to come in and speak with you and go through the deliverance ministry again for myself, and just trust the Lord to remove that oppression that was on me. And you placed me with a beautiful, beautiful minister, a lady, I don't recall her name, but she had herself experienced a suicide in her family, so we related very well to each other and the pain and grief that comes with the suicide. But as she ministered to me through the night, that oppression just lifted. It just simply lifted. That's the only way I can state it. It just
Praise God.
Lifted off of me, and the next day I was just a different person.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
It was just an oppression that I couldn't describe. I couldn't, I was just stuck in it. I just didn't know what to do. But after the deliverance experience the next day, I knew that it was no longer there. And I didn't really experience any manifestation that I was aware of, but I knew the oppression was gone.
And, of course, a lot of people don't really feel anything at the time, even though many do. They yawn, cough, or burp sometimes, or feel something go. But then we minister to, I did a ministry deliverance today, and the lady didn't seem to feel anything. But I know we were scoring, and that's often the case. You just go forward by faith and go through the steps, and sure enough, the reports come back of how we scored, you know.
Exactly.
It isn't always where you have feeling. But that's I appreciate you sharing that. That's our Holy Spirit coming to comfort. In John 14, the Holy Spirit is a comforter, and he will come when asked. And that's a supernatural comfort. That's what I experienced, 39 years ago now, and what you experienced, Shirley.
Yeah.
Supernatural.
Yes, and it really is an experience of peace, a comfort that you can't describe. It's just that pain, that pain that you just couldn't deal with. You didn't know. I just say it like this. I can't wrap my mind around that kind of pain. I don't know where to put that kind of pain. It just hangs on you, and the Holy Spirit just removed it. And I can socialize, I can speak to people, I can do things that I just did not want to do before.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And, you know, there's listeners out there today, this evening, hearing your testimony and even what I experienced years ago, that the Holy Spirit is there to supernaturally comfort. And many people have had traumas and horrible traumas. And through ministry, we do a lot of inner healing. And I'm sure your minister did some of that with you as well, Shirley.
Yes, she was great at it. She just really ministered to a lot of areas of my life. I think she was very thorough and covered. You know, we discussed a lot of things that I was thinking and doing and just a lot of feelings that I had. And so she covered a lot of areas that I think she knew what she was asking and speaking to me about, while I just maybe felt like she was just making conversation or comforting me. She was really ministering to me, and she prayed over me prayers that were very effectual, very, very, you know, the manifestations were very evident to me the next day that they were, the peace and the comfort I had been longing for had come. The Holy Spirit had totally comforted my soul, and even my mind was at peace, and my soul was at peace, and I was just relieved of all of this oppression, that this heaviness that was just weighing me down. It just wasn't there anymore. So I strongly encourage anyone who's had a traumatic experience that just weighs on them. I strongly encourage them to seek deliverance and to come and let someone just minister over them like they did with me, and what a powerful experience that is, what a life-changing experience that is.
Those steps, Shirley, are in my book, but those were the steps that the minister would have been taking you through, and they're proven
and
to work.
Your book is very, very thorough, Everett, for anyone that would get that book and go through it. It's extremely thorough on explaining and walking you through everything. It's an amazing book.
We were talking about it earlier, that how this is not a special gift area. This is for all Christians. All Christians can learn to do what we're talking about. It is not a special gift area. It's normal Christianity. And if only more Christians... our observation is it may be less than 1% of the Christian body here in the U.S. that understand what we're talking about here in deliverance and all. It's frustrating that more of it isn't out into the body of Christ and being utilized. All Christians, again, can do it. Lay people can do it in the churches, and all the pastors a lot of times don't have time to spend like we do hours with people in this kind of ministry. Lay people can rise to it and minister to the congregation as they need it in separate rooms, you know, different times than the church service.
Yes, and I believe right. I think there's very little awareness of what it really is, and that we can do it ourselves, and how much difference in your life it makes. I think that just speaking about it like you're doing and having people talk about it just making people aware of what it actually is. It's not anything to be fearful of or apprehensive of. It's just the works that Jesus did, and he gave that to us to do, and which is what you've done for so many years now, Everett, and it's just an amazing thing. But it is unfortunate that very few really are aware of it.
Yes, it's frustrating. But all we can do is keep trying, and that's why we're on the radio show tonight, is telling it, and people will hear those testimonies like yourself and realize, well, maybe I could get some help in this, mm-hmm. and they'll reach out. And well, Shirley, your husband even got some ministry that night you came, and have you
he
seen
came
any
with me. He
changes
actually brought
in him?
Me. because he was concerned about me and the oppression I was under, but
sure.
he came himself, and he was quite pleased with his deliverance experience.
Praise God. Well, he had a really good minister.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, Everett. You're the best. You were really very... he was honored to have you minister to him, and we're very thankful that you did.
And you know, I've known your husband for a number of years too. He being associated with the Full Gospel Businessmen here in Oklahoma City for a long time, so that worked out really good. Well, Shirley, in closing out here with you, do you have anything else you would want to share with the listeners?
I would just encourage everyone to go through deliverance, whether you've had a traumatic experience, especially if you've had a traumatic experience. But even if you have not, I think one of the first things I learned with Everett in his class is that we all have areas that we struggle with. They're not anything that are just on some people. They're on all of us. We all have areas that trouble us, that bring us down. And Satan is so wise and so deceitful. He knows where and how to attack us. So even
yes.
for those of you who don't feel like, well, you know, that's not for me, I'm here to say it is for you, because you would just be amazed and overwhelmed at what the Holy Spirit can do in you, even when you feel like you've got it all together and you don't need this. That's something that is the deceit of Satan, is that, no, we don't need this. Well, yes, we do. We do. All of us do. All of us
yes.
need to be healed in different areas of our mind, soul, and bodies. And whether it's a physical healing, an emotional healing, a trauma, or just a struggle, an addiction, or something that we struggle with, a bitterness, anything. It can be anything. I think deliverance is for everyone to go through. I know
yes.
that it is. It's just the work of the Holy Spirit just cleaning us up and making us whole and new and transforming us into becoming more like Christ in our spirit.
Yes. I often
Amen.
Call it a Jesus overhaul.
Jesus overhaul,
Praise
a good
God.
Tune-up. That's exactly right. Just a good overhaul.
Yes.
Everett, thank you so much for asking me to share. I really appreciate what you're doing. We're just so grateful for your ministry, and our lives have been so deeply touched by your ministry.
Oh, thank you, Shirley, for sharing. You're a blessing.
You are,
Bye-bye.
Too. You are, too. You've
Thank you, Miss Shirley,
well.
For joining us tonight. Have a good evening.
You, too. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Everett, with Miss Shirley's testimony, I want to read the role of the Spirit here that's laid down in John 14:26. But I want to read it from the Amplified Bible, because I think the Amplified really splits it out. She was talking about the peace and the comfort the Holy Spirit brings. But in verse 26 of John 14, it says, "But the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener,
stand by the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. And verse 27, peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. And that is what Shirley had there happen to her. Was supernaturally the Holy Spirit came upon her when she had that challenge and that circumstance and gave her the peace and comfort that she so desperately needed at that time. And that is just, that's accessible to every Christian. The Holy Spirit was promised to us as Jesus went to the Father. It was promised to us. And unfortunately, there are so many people do not know the ministry of the Holy Spirit and really understand, not that we can ever fully understand, but start to understand what the Holy Spirit was sent there for us. As Christians were put here with certain duties and certain commissions, but we weren't left unarmed. We were given the Holy Spirit to help. So just praise you, Lord Jesus, that you did that. You gave that comfort and that peace to Shirley during her trying time. And I'm just glad that she was able to come on and give that testimony there. And, Pastor, we have our next caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good evening.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, I'm here.
Thanks for calling.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for calling. I'm excited you called in and share tonight. We just had a lady sharing earlier before you called, and it was a great testimony. And everybody has a testimony, especially yes. after they've been through deliverance. So maybe you could share, if you would, how you first learned about deliverance, Teresa, and then what experiences you've had.
Sure. I first heard about the deliverance ministry from a group of girls at my church. They came to me and told me that they had went to Oklahoma City, and there is this gathering in a church, and they do deliverance, like soul ties and trauma. And so they were super excited about it. And so they were getting a group together of more girls that were so excited, like myself, to want to experience this. And I was a full believer that deliverance is possible. And so what happened was they were unable to get the group together. Of course, some individuals had something going on that Monday night, so it ended up being me and two friends of mine from church. And of course, on my way down there, I get pulled over twice. I never get pulled over. And so everything was just kind of stopping me with the girls falling out, and I'm kind of like, well, do I go? You know, I don't really know. And so I get there, and you know, I listen to the door closing, and I'm just really paying attention. And one thing that I did notice is right when I stepped into the building, before I even sat down, I felt the presence of God there. And while I was sitting there during the door closing, I started to shake, and there was a burning in my chest. And then I'd get a headache, or then I'd burp just randomly, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what's going on with me? And so I'm looking at my friends, and I got paired up with a wonderful minister, Gerald Deaton. And once, while we were going through the steps of deliverance, such as, you know, trauma, addiction, you know, I flipped everything that was going on. And at that time, I was still dealing with my cancer and just gone to remission. So I had a lot of things going on, menopause and just unbelief of what's really going on with my body. So one thing that Gerald nailed was unforgiveness. I had a lot of unforgiveness, not so much towards others, but towards myself. And one thing that I learned by going to this ministry is that we as humans unconsciously suppress and push down and completely hide and forget about traumas that have happened in our lives. And so the unforgiveness that I was holding was there was a few individuals that I had to forgive, such as my earliest memory, included my dad and just so on. So we kept having to go back to myself. And I couldn't speak when he'd say, say that Jesus came to the earth in flesh. I was saying that, but there was something stopping me from continuing to forgive myself. Because everything that had happened to me, the trauma, every single thing, the problem wasn't them. It was me. Why did I get bullied growing up? Why was I different? Why was I cast aside? Everything was, I took personal and I blamed myself because, obviously I must have some type of defect that I keep attracting bullies that want to harm me and create enormous amounts of fear in my life growing up in high school and junior high and elementary. So in college, I left San Diego and I came to Oklahoma just by myself and through the faith of God, had nothing, and put myself through 9 years of college. And through those 9 years, I learned a lot about myself, the sharpening of my character by having to endure the college and the payments and also, the academic and all that. So I come to find out that I'm really not a gentle, quiet person. Like, I'm actually funny. Like, I love to joke around and laugh. And so when I went to Deliverance, it just struck me that we kept having to deal with things that had happened in my life that wasn't the problem of the individual, but that I took personally, and I just suppressed it. So Gerald worked on me for about an hour and a half, and we got to the point where, I felt okay, and I was like, okay, I think this is good. I left there feeling literally like 500 pounds was off my back. I stood up straight. I was smiling. I had a glow. I felt the presence of God. And during that time when we were, something I forgot to mention is during the unforgiveness that we were stuck on, I was burping. And during the door closing session, they did say that if you're burping or coughing or anything like that, that is actually, the spirit, the connection of the spirit that's in me, that's been dwelling in me, coming out. So the first time I went, I was still kind of like, okay, that's awesome. And then, of course, life happened. And then so my second and third time, the Lord told me specifically, today you're stopping what you're doing and you're going down. So the second time I went, and then the third time I went, I had a minister by the name of Jacqueline, and we just kind of went over the paper, and we dealt with soul ties. And I really wasn't familiar with soul ties. And so she explained to me that anybody I had a connection with, friendship or, say, sexually, forgive me for the word, whatever they're bearing spiritually can come and attach yourself to me. So I was just flabbergasted. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, how can that be? And so I had to break a soul tie for one of my friends that just committed suicide. I was broken. I didn't know why. I didn't understand. Why didn't she call me? And so we broke some major holdings, hurt, and misunderstanding that were creeping inside me. And, of course, soul ties sexually. And so I left there, and, again, I felt on top of the world. I felt like, I can go and be a missionary and, just that wonderful feeling that you feel after you leave, Deliverance Ministry. And Jacqueline kept in contact with me, and I promise you, this is just recently. I maybe saw her about less than a month ago. Every day that I was being under attack severely, she would, out of the blue, send me a text and give me a scripture and say, how are you doing? Remember to do your deliverance paper. And I would sit outside, and I would do the deliverance paper constantly. And so one day, it was last Monday, I had a horrible day. I was supposed to be in Perry to have a doctor's appointment. I missed the exit twice. It's plain as clear. Perry missed it twice. They had to drive all the way up to Enid, turn around, and get to the doctor's office. While I'm in the doctor's office, you know, the Lord is pounding me. You need to go. You need to go to deliverance, and you need to bring your sister-in-law. So I text Jacqueline, and that was one of the days where I was about to break. I was standing in my bathroom having a panic attack. I called my parents crying because I couldn't do it anymore. And so she texts, and she's like, well, you know, why don't you come tonight? And I said, you know, it's funny because the spirit is hard on me to go. I said, let me call. I hope it's not too late. I'm going to bring my sister. And so I called, and then she just replied directly back. And she said, you're in. I said, good. So I sit in the doctor's office. I get there at 2:30. I'm supposed to have my appointment at 2:40. I sit there till 3:30, and I'm still not seeing the doctor yet. So I'm looking at the time. I'm like, gosh, it starts at 5:30. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to leave. So as soon as I get up, grab my keys, the doctor comes in. And then he has me sitting there until 4:10. So I run out of there. I get my sister in Stillwater, grab her, and we're screaming because I'm like, oh, my God, I can feel my freedom, Everett. I could taste it. I told my sister in the car, I said, today, it's it. This is it. Satan is done with me. He's had me for so long in captivity, you know, camouflaged everything he could, suppressed everything he could. This is it. And I drove down there like it was going to be the end of the world. And we just got down there. We got there just at 5:30. And me and my sister go in, and I was praying for my sister because she's newly a Christian, and she has no idea about the spiritual realm and what we can command and what our power and our authority is. So, you know, during the door opening, she looks at me, and she's like, my chest is on fire. I can't breathe. And I said, just stay there. Just sit still. And she's starting to shake. And so I was praying that she would get a good minister, that, you know, someone, you know, God ordained would meet her up. And so that Monday, it happened to be more people than ministers. So I opted myself out so that my sister can go and get ministered to. So I went into a room with other ladies. There was about five ladies that had been there already. Now, mind you, this is my fourth time. So I get in a room with two ministers, and we were going to go through, go figure, forgiveness. So as he's going through forgiveness, I start shaking hysterically and crying. And the guy can see the cuts on my arm that I had done a couple of weeks ago because I just had so much pain. So he gets up and he goes out and he talks to somebody, and then he comes in. He's like, we have a minister for you. And I'm shaking, I'm crying, I have no idea what's going on with me. And I get paired up with two ladies. The first thing that they did was they said, we're going to take you back to your first memory. And unfortunately, my first memory on earth was not good. However, I did see the hand of God when I was 2 years old. He pulled me up from my high chair that I was getting ready to fall as my parents were fighting. And that was my first memory. And I had anger and I had confusion. I didn't understand why, you know, my dad, you know, this and that. So we went there. And, you know, I forgave my mom and dad. And then, you know, the Holy Spirit was guiding me. I had my eyes closed. And then she goes, now what pops up next? And then this is something that I had not thought of for 20 years. I completely forgot about it. I had a bully, a really bad bully. Out of everybody in the school, I had this mean bully. And she'd pull my hair to school. She'd rip my backpack up. She'd push me. And I would just get up and walk, and I'd cry and cry. You know, I would never strike her. And so we had to deal with that. And we forgave her. I forgave her, excuse me, through the ministers. I forgave her. And then we went to junior high. Again, I had a horrible bully. And the fear, this girl was the one that put the fear, like every fear that you can imagine into me. She said she was going to kill me. She said, I need you to do this or I'm going to kill your family. You know, and I'm just a scared little girl, you know, not really knowing what to do. So when we got to that memory, I looked up at the minister lady and I said, I can't do this. I cannot do this. Because we were bringing up hurt and anger and things that the Satan had camouflaged. You know, Satan had, hidden from me, but he was using those emotions that were attached to those traumas. And that's because I allowed him, and I didn't know that, I had the authority or that, you know, we have the authority through Christ and that there is deliverance. So as we're going through this process, I look up at her, and I have tears in my eyes. I can't do this. I can't do this. And she looked right back at me. She said, yes, you are. Close your eyes, and let's go to the next memory. So I took a deep breath, and that's the last thing I remember. After I came to, how would you say, back to awake, I don't know if I was asleep, I don't know, but when I came regained consciousness, I had about four or five individual ministers around me, and my throat hurt. And, you know, I could barely speak, like I was really hoarse. And I look up at everybody and, you know, look back and, you know, this gentleman standing behind me with the Bible on my back. And you know, I said, what's going on? And they said, you screamed at the top of your lungs. Your hands were clenched so hard. You were screaming. At one point, you had to throw up. I don't know if I threw up, but I felt the sensation that I needed to throw up. And so I truly
That screaming went on about 10 or 15 minutes.
Yes, they told me that it went on for quite a bit. But. And it was like when I regained, consciousness, if you would say, you know, I felt literally, excuse me, there was one thing. When I regained consciousness and we put the trash can down and I'm looking around and my throat's forced, I let out the biggest burp I've ever heard. And so, you know, I look at everybody and everybody claps or they do something, they're crazy, you know, praise Jesus. And so then I remember, okay, something must have came out. And then they started to tell me, listen, I don't know if you remember or not, but you were screaming heavily at the top of your lungs. And I don't remember that. I don't remember the questions they were asking me. You know, they were telling me that they were asking, you know, the name of the demon that was in me. And I'm looking at the girls and I'm like, I grabbed the seat and I'm like, are you telling me there was a demon in me? And they said, yes, it was. And I just,
yes.
I did not know what to say. But I tell you what, I can literally feel my gut and I can feel just the presence of just lightness. And I can see clearly, I mean, the lights were a different shade and I can see the girls' pores and their skin. And I just, looking back and not remembering it, I can tell you what, I screamed out every lie of the devil, every conviction that he had over me, every stronghold for 37 years. I can tell you, I feel whether it was a demon coming out and me at the same time screaming out every single thing. And I believe God put me into that sleepiness, I believe, so that he can literally get it all out. Because, mind you, this is my fourth time. And I'm sitting here before, you know, I go with my minister. I'm looking at my sister and worried about her. And you know, want her to experience this beautiful, you know, deliverance that a lot of Christians do not know they have the authority and the ability to do. And so I'm all worried about her. But at the same time, I can literally taste freedom on my tongue. And I don't know how to explain it.
Mm-hmm. Teresa, you may not have been aware, because what happens is with some people, it's about 10% of the cases we see,
when the demons are up, the person is down inside somewhere, and they do not hear or see anything. We run into that about 10% of the time. But you may not remember this, but you finally did fully forgive yourself, and that was the key, that was the door that the demon had come through. That was its legal right to be there, and when you finally did really forgive yourself, that demon lost its right to stay, and it easily was cast out then. Otherwise, even though we have all power over these spirits, if they have a legal right, they, of course, will use it and stay. So that was what went on and how you ultimately got totally delivered there. Praise God.
Yes, praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, Everett, I believe that I was at 10% because I'm a fighter. You know, I'm very gypsy, hippie, you know, personality, but inside, I'm very private, and, you know, I was always against counseling. You know, I said, how dare, you know, I talk to somebody about my secret, most, you know, secret traumas and memories. And so I believe that God had to just, I had to just completely, completely submit so that God
yes.
can take over. Excuse me. And he knew
yeah, praise God.
That I would not do it fully. Because, like I said, mm-hmm. I was trying to stop the process. And after I
well,
said
you know,
that,
now,
and after
you,
she said, we're going to go
Teresa,
on, is when I don't remember.
Teresa, you make a good team leader now. As of course, most of our teams have come through after they've had deliverance. They got free, and then they realize all these people are out here around us
yes.
that need this kind of ministry. So maybe
yes.
the Lord will lead you to go through our training.
Amen.
Amen. I'm praying about
Teresa,
that. Yes. I mean, I'm definitely.
Teresa, thank you for your testimony, but we are
about
almost
out of time, Teresa.
We are just about out of time. We got the constraint of the radio program, so I do appreciate
yes,
you coming
thank
in
you so much for,
on the show tonight and giving your testimony. Oh,
thanks,
our pleasure.
Teresa.
And, thank you for giving it. And
blessings to you.
Wow.
Thank you. Okay,
well,
you guys have a good night, and to all the listeners, I believe that Jesus has so much more than you can ever imagine. You just got to take that step in faith and experience the beautiful deliverance that God wants us to have and walk in. Amen. Good night.
Amen. God bless you and good night.
Amen. That was that summed it up pretty well.
Wow, she told it good.
She did. She did. She did. And we do give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ because here there's another captive set free. And everybody, thank you for tuning in this evening, and we will see you next week. Have a good evening.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. Fell and all our hearts darkness came.